Hi, everyone. I'm Jim. I'm an alcoholic. Kevin asked me to do this, I think, right after the conference, and I was on my conference high, so I was saying yes to everything, you know. I'll do it, you know. My sobriety date is January of 1978. I just celebrated 40 years of sobriety. And the step, when they asked me to do this, I have a regular step study that I did back then, and that's what I was raised on, and that's what I continue to do today. Step one, I could tell you a little bit about myself. I came into fellowship when I was 21 years old. They told me that I had to do all 12 steps in the first year because they were afraid I was going to escape. You know, because we heal up quick when we're young. And that was true. I was hospitalized for 14 days due to alcoholism, and then I was shipped out to Serenity West and spent 28 days there. I was very fortunate. The people that I hung around with in the fellowship were big book thumpers, and because I was young, they put me on the 12-step list and drugged me all over town on 12-step calls, and it was a very rewarding experience. And through those 12-step calls, I can remember the questions that were asked to the people who wanted us to be there. So, step one, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. This study is not a shortcut to AA. It's an introduction, a help, a brief course in the fundamentals in order to decide whether or not a person has drifted from social drinking into pathological drinking. It is well to check over a list for himself of test questions which each member may ask himself and answer for himself, as in Who Me, the Who Me pamphlet that AA has going around. Then we should answer once for all three puzzling questions. What's an alcoholic? Who is an alcoholic? And am I an alcoholic? And how do I get the right answer? The first thing we need is honesty. Honesty, and second is open-mindedness, and third is willingness. In honesty, it's complete honesty, cash register honesty. This is the first step is the one that we must do 100%. Okay, it is possible, not at all probable, that we may fool somebody else, but we must be honest with ourselves, and it's a good time to start being honest with others. Face the person in the mirror. You know, for the first time, we have to really look at ourselves. It's a growing up period in AA. As far as open-mindedness goes, an open mind is forget the previous ideas about AA, alcoholism, alcoholics, or controlling drinking. Seeing alcoholism as a moral problem rather than a fatal illness. Religious misconceptions as opposed to the spiritual concept, etc. And willingness, a willingness to learn. To learn. When I came into the fellowship, they told me, keep your mouth shut for a year. You don't have anything to offer. And I took that to heart. And it made my life a lot easier because I would go to meetings and people would say all these things, and then I didn't have to think about what I was going to say. And because of that, I listened more intently. I had to learn how to listen. We must not have the attitude that you've got to show me. It's after careful consideration we admit we are an alcoholic. We should accept we can never again become a controlled drinker, and from then on are limited to just two alternatives. One, total permanent abstinence. Or two, chronic alcoholism with all the handicaps and penalties it implies. In other words, we have gone past the point where we had a choice. All we have left is a decision to make. We lost the choice when it comes to alcoholism. So now we're standing at the turning point. We have to make a decision. we resolve to do something about it. We must change our way of thinking. We must realize that each morning when we awake, we are a potential drunkard for that day, no matter if you have one day of sobriety or 40 years of sobriety. Each day you wake up, you know, you're a potential drunk for the day. And it's important to know that that's for the rest of your life. Even though it's a day at a time, it doesn't change. I've been around so long, I've seen people try to beat the system, try to go out, and come, and some of them make it back, but a lot of them don't. They die. And I don't want to say I'm heartless about it, but I can say this. It was a learning experience for me that it doesn't work. I had a friend in the program. He had 18 years of sobriety. And he started playing pool with a girl that he had met at the bars. They were in a pool league. And I said to him, "Why do you do that?" I said, "Isn't that like a threat to your sobriety?" And he said, "No, everything, it doesn't bother me. I don't go in near the bar. I play pool." And he was dead in 2 years because he started to pick up. One day he got mad because we have these anger issues. You know? You know, somebody looks at us wrong way, we take it wrong. So there are things to do once you find out that you or think you're an alcoholic. They give a list of things that you should practice and practice AA for 24 hours a day. You know, these are the solutions that we have to do. Plan to study all the other 11 steps. Go to regular meetings each week without fail. People who start slacking off on meetings eventually. When you get away from something, it's so much easier to stay away from it because you get comfort in your own comfort zone. And the same way with when you make a suggestion to somebody to do a certain step, the longer they put it off, the easier it is to put it off. So firmly believe that by practicing AA faithfully each day, we will achieve contented sobriety and believe that we can be free from alcohol as a problem. Contact another member before it getting too bad. You know, you can feel the anxiety coming on. We all do. We know what anxiety is. We want to get up and run. We want to get away from it. We can't stand being where we're at. And that's the time we have to make a phone call. That's the time we have to talk to somebody. Especially agitated. The hardest thing for me my first year of sobriety was walking away from a fight. I'd get all like I used to when I was drinking, and I had to actually turn around and walk away. And even though I was called names and I stayed sober, I thank God that didn't happen. My friend Gene used to say, "You can do anything you want in the fellowship, but just remember you have to pay the consequences." Work the program for ourselves, not for our wife or children or friends or job. You come in here because you want to live. I don't want to die. I keep coming back to meetings because I want to live. I'm enjoying my life today. I'm not sick all the time. Christ, after I sobered up, I went 6 years without missing a day of work. That's crazy. I think I was making up for all the times I missed, you know. Be absolutely honest and sincere. Honesty plays a big part in step one. And sincerity too. You know, when I used to go into those houses and talk to these people who called and they wanted help so bad, and I would look at them, I could tell if they were lying just by them averting their eyes when I would say, "How much do you drink? What does it do to you?" "Oh, you know," and then they look down and then they start becoming evasive. And as sponsors, we are responsible to look the people we sponsor in the eye. And we can tell. We can tell when they're being evasive. You know? Open your big mouth if you're a sponsor. Tell them that's the way it is. You don't want to see somebody die. It's not fun. This, I have watched that person die. It's not fun. Be fully open-minded with no mental reservations, and be fully willing to work the program. Nothing good in life comes without work. Work's not a dirty word. It isn't. I asked my sponsor a long time ago, don't you ever get sick of this, hearing the same thing over and over again? And he told me, he said, alcoholism has to be like breathing. You don't even think about it, you just do it. You just do it every day. You wake up, you're breathing. You just do it. You get into a new way of life, a new way of thinking. And so, I have a list of symptoms that lead to a relapse. Now, this is from the 70s, so some of this stuff might be a little old for you. The top of the list is exhaustion. Allowing yourself to become overly tired or in poor health because you're trying to make up for lost time or whatever it is. You feel bad enough, you might begin to even think that a drink couldn't make it any worse. But you set yourself up. You feel bad about yourself, so you set yourself up. Dishonesty begins with a pattern of unnecessary little lies and deceit with fellow workers, friends, and family, and then comes important lies to yourself. This is called rationalization. We are master rationalizers. We are masters at it. And we actually believe a lot of the crap we tell people. Making excuses for not doing what you do not want to do or for doing what you know you should not do. Do you want to go to a meeting tonight? Nah, I got something going on. You know? You see that guy over in the corner, that person sitting over in the corner by themselves? Break away from your crowd. Walk over and say hi. Because we're the loneliest people around. And the only way AA works is we have to be together on this. And this is how I was taught. I sponsored a guy for 3 years. We became close friends, our families were close. And his wife called me one night and said he was out drinking. And I couldn't believe it. Shocked me from nowhere. Nowhere. I went to the club. I talked to an old timer down there. And I told him what happened. He knew the person I was speaking of. Because when you saw me at a meeting, you saw him. And he said, you see that guy sitting over in the corner? Go over and talk to him. Quit your whining. This is a deadly disease. This is deadly. And if you've been around long enough, you'll see that. And anybody that says it doesn't hurt when they go out, it hurts like hell. It does. I'm tired of it. I really am. I'm tired of seeing people die because they don't take it seriously. Impatience. Things aren't happening fast enough. Wow. I came in and they said to me, I wanted a job, I wanted the house, I wanted everything right away. This is all in that first couple, you know, that first year. And people would say, you got to have patience. I say, you got a Cadillac. You got a house. You got the wife. You got the kids. You got the money. You got the job. I want mine now, 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 now. Doesn't happen that way. They told me, suffer, you bastard. Everyone that's in this program goes through this change. It's the people who say that it's this is my opinion. I'm going to give it to you. That AA is the easier, softer way did not work the 12 steps. This is the hardest thing you'll ever do in your life. You have to change your life. If you don't, you die. Going out there and being drunk every day, that was easy. Staggering from bar to bar. This is meaningful. This is life. This ain't a drama on TV. You know, you don't shoot somebody and they come back the next week on a different show. And when we die, we die. That's the way it is. Argumentativeness. Arguing small and ridiculous points of view indicates a need to always be right. Well, we're famous for that, aren't we? And I'm telling you, I'm right. Why don't you be reasonable and agree with me? Hello. Always looking for an excuse to drink. All these things are your alcoholism trying to find its way back to a drink. It doesn't say, I want a drink. It starts a fight. It does something else. And that eventually leads to that drink. Depression. Unreasonable and unaccountable despair may occur in cycles and should be dealt with and talked about. If you're feeling depressed, you have to open your mouth. Don't hide in your room and turn the lights off. That's the worst thing you can do. We have to talk. We have to verbalize this stuff. Frustration is one of my favorite ones. At people, and also because things may not be going my way. Remember, everything is not going to be just the way you want it. Life is not going to follow your dictates. It's going to happen the way it wants to. Our ability to adapt to it is what we learn in sobriety. And I think it, when they say we share our experience, strength, and hope, they say experience first, because we've experienced it and we can share it with someone else who may be going through it. Self-pity. Why do these things always happen to me? Poor me. Why must I be an alcoholic? Nobody appreciates all I am doing for them. Man. I work hard all week. I go do this, I do that. And nobody's appreciating it. This is stuff you're supposed to be doing, dumbass. That's what my sponsor told me. You're supposed to go to work every day. You're supposed to take care of business. You're supposed to handle situations. That's what everybody else does. But 20% of the population can't handle that. They have to come to meetings like this so we can learn how to live. Here's another one. Cockiness. I got it made. No longer fear alcoholism, and I'm going into a drinking situation to prove to others I have no problem. I can go to the bar and have food. One of my biggest pet peeves. I hate bars. I don't like being in them. It's like I'm a diabetic also, so I don't go to Polacco's and sit around and watch, oh, isn't the colors nice in here? It's bullshit. It's that lying again, telling yourself that you're lying. Do this often enough and it'll wear down your defenses, cockiness. Just because I have 40 years of sobriety doesn't mean shit. I'm one drink away from a drunk. I work with new people because they tell me the horror stories that are still going out there, and that's what keeps me coming back. Someone took time for me. It is my responsibility to give that back. Complacency. Drinking is the farthest thing from my mind. Be wary of that statement. Not drinking was no longer a conscious thought either. It's dangerous to let up on disciplines. This is what we do here. We discipline ourselves. And if we let up on our disciplines, we get into trouble. We stop reading our big book. We stop praying. We don't carry the message. We say, yes, we've worked the 12 steps, but do we still carry the message? Do you still have the briefcase? Do you still go out and talk to new people? When you stop doing that, whether you have 20, 30, 40 years of sobriety, you end up picking up a drink. I was just on a cruise ship with a guy who had 26 years and went back out. He stopped carrying the message. It was all about him and what he could get. God didn't sober us up because He wants us to be rich, famous, and sit around on our ass and do nothing. He wants us to carry His message to other people, to the people that need help. That's why we're sober today. This sobriety is a gift. I know people who can work these steps. They can quote from the big book, but can't stay sober. And the reason being is they don't. It has to go from here to here. You have to believe this. Just because you're intellectually savvy doesn't work here. In fact, some of the people who struggle the most are the smartest people in this room, because they overanalyze. It's a very simple program. It's a human program. That's a human way of life. We are a fellowship. It doesn't work without the other fellows. Great expectation, expecting too much from others. I've changed, why hasn't everyone else? It's a plus if they do. But it's still your problem if they don't. They may not trust you yet. May still be looking for further proof. You cannot expect others to change their lifestyles just because you have. You can't expect other people to change anything that they do in their life just because you're in Alcoholics Anonymous. We do this for us, not for all them. And if you're looking for them to change, you're in the wrong program. It won't work. Lax on discipline. Letting up on disciplines. Prayer, meditation, daily inventory, attendance. This can stem either from complacency or boredom. You cannot afford to be bored with your program. Well, how do you get bored with your program? Just going to the same meeting every week? You go to the same three meetings every week. You know exactly what that person's going to say when they get up there. You already know who's going to say what. But you go like you're a drone. And you go and you sit there. You meet the same people all the time. You go to the west side. You don't go to the east side. You don't go to the center city. You don't go south. You go to the west side. You stay on the west side. Why? There's people there are all over Erie County that you may not even have met. Let them know who you are. Go change it up once in a while. Enhance your sobriety. Make a friend. If you see a young person, sit down next to them. May not be the seat you normally sit in at that meeting, but go sit down next to them and say, what's your name? My name's so-and-so. Somebody gave you time. Why can't you give it back? This one's controversial. I don't know if I was going to read it, but I'm going to anyways. You may feel the need to ease things a little with a pill. And your doctor may go along with you. You may never have had a problem with chemicals other than alcohol, but you can easily lose sobriety starting this way. About the most subtle way to have a relapse. It's very subtle. Remember, you will be cheating. Only you know. The reverse of this is true if you're a drug addict and you think you can drink a little bit. Setting unrealistic goals. Wanting too much. Do not set goals you cannot reach with normal efforts. You know, I'm never going to be a brain surgeon, but I'm going to try. Anybody who sponsored people knows great expectations. You know? Put one foot in front of the other and walk to a meeting. It's always great when good things you were not expecting happen. You'll get what you're entitled to as long as you do your best, but this may not happen as soon as you think it should. Happiness is not having what you want, but wanting what you have. forgetting gratitude. You may be looking negatively on your life, concentrating on all your problems all the time. They're still not totally corrected. Nobody wants to be a Pollyanna. I think that means somebody that complains all the time or something. I don't know. But it's good to remember where you started from and how much better life is now. And it can't happen to me. This is dangerous thinking. Almost anything can happen to you, and it's more likely if you get careless. Remember, you have a progressive disease. You will be in worse shape if you relapse. And from people who have gone back out that I've talked to, they always say it was a lot worse. It started out like, I had a drink and I went home. And then within 3 weeks, they've lost everything that, you know, their job, and it's progressive. It just happens right now. And this is not something that I'm talking about as conjecture or something that I think. This is something that I have experienced by talking to people all over the world, not just in Erie. I'm talking about all over the world. I've been fortunate enough to travel, and it's the same old story. I got success, and then I let success take me away from the program. Carry the 12th step always. When we get to the 12th step, it's a huge step. This step is the biggest step for me. And this is the last one on this list. It's called omnipotence. This is the feeling that results from a combination of many of the above. You now have all the answers. We all know. For yourself and others. No one can tell you anything. How many people in AA do we know that are very argumentative and you can't tell them nothing? I'm probably one of them. I don't know. You ignore suggestions or advice from others. Relapse is probably imminent unless drastic changes take place. You know, I hated school when I went to school. And I came into AA and they said, these are your classrooms. And I said, I'm screwed. This is horrible. I was a kid who always, staring out the window. But if you see me at a meeting, I'm usually sitting up front because I'm so easily distracted. If you're at a meeting and you're easily distracted, come on up and sit with me. You know, I won't bite you. You know. And as a conclusion, alcoholics are suffering from a mental and spiritual disease, not only a physical illness, it's threefold illness. It's threefold. Fortunately, we in AA have learned how the illness may be controlled and arrested. We have learned these things. We can also learn and be free from alcohol as a problem. We can achieve a full and happy life without alcoholism. No question pertaining to drinking or stopping drinking is silly or irrelevant. If you have a question, for God's sake, ask. Nobody here is going to condemn you or nothing. We all started where you started. I came here, I knew nothing. I didn't know anything about alcoholism. When they told me in the hospital, Jim, there is absolutely nothing wrong with you except that you're an alcoholic, I was relieved. I thought I was crazy. Because every time I got drunk, I would do stuff that got in the paper or whatever. You know, bad stuff. And I never, ever set out to hurt anybody. And I hurt lots of people. Besides, any question we may ask may also help someone else, the person that you're talking to. In AA, we learn by question and answer. We learn by exchanging our thoughts and experiences with each other. Kind of the way this meeting is run. We know that if this program works for us, and we are able to maintain a sober, peaceful life, it will be not through any strength of ours, but rather the man upstairs has reached down and given us a helping hand. Strange as it may seem, it works. That's all I got on step one.
Thank you for speaking on step one, Jim.
I don't know how long I went.
We got 14 minutes.
Until 9:30.
9:30? 7:30. This is where we do the question and answers. We'd like to have your comments in the form of a question also. Does anybody have any questions? I can only run so fast.
Hi, I'm Bridget. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Bridget.
Thank you, Jim. And I think I would term this talk you gave tonight step one in the rearview mirror. Because you weren't talking necessarily about those of us who are coming to the original conclusion. You focused a lot on people who made that conclusion, and through lack of, I would say, engagement with the program, kind of just melted away. So, thank you. That was wonderful. My question is, do you think that alcoholics are extremely hard on themselves, making unrealistic expectations for themselves, maybe for others, and do you think that's part of our disease?
I would say so, because we always try to be perfect. You know, there's a pamphlet out about the myth of perfection. And so we think that the harder we're going to be on ourselves, the better we will be. A lot of times, I can give you a few examples. So my co-sponsor, he would call me at 3 o'clock in the morning and wake me up and tell me a joke and then hang up. Because he would say, "You're so damn tight and wound up, you need to learn how to laugh." And they used to make fun of me. But you know, when you go to after meeting or before meeting, it's really sometimes that camaraderie and that sense of belonging takes away that anxiety of perfection sometimes. Because I can, at 40 years, can tell you what some of the dumbest things I've ever done. And they think, well, if he can do it, I don't have to be perfect, you know. And so it's good to be hard on yourself. But if you have a really good sponsor, he'll know when you're too hard, and he'll know when to lighten up.
Thanks, Jim. Great presentation. When someone comes to you that thinks they've got a problem with alcohol and doesn't know where to turn, what are the things you say to them that keeps them interested, keep them wanting to come back, keep them wanting to see you as their sponsor?
Well, the first thing I do is I ask them, what's the problem? What's going on in your life? You know, and then they'll usually tell you. And then I relay a little bit about my story, you know, what happened to me. And I instead of both coming up with problems, then we have to have a solution. And the solution has to come from me, because I have the experience, strength, and hope. And so what I would do is I would tell them, I've gone to this place and these people have really helped me out. You know, and you don't have to join. There's no dues or fees. You can come, and if you like it, fine. If you don't, we'll give you back your misery. You know, I don't pull punches with people. When I go on 12-step calls, I tell them exactly the way it is. I tell them, don't waste my time. I'm not here to babysit you. I'm not here to take away all your problems. I'm here to answer the questions you might have about alcoholism, and if there's a solution, there is a solution. But don't waste my time by having me come. And it was always 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning, which drove me nuts. But anything else?
I'm Jennifer. I'm an alcoholic. That was great, Jim. Really good. One thing I questioned, the Big Book talks about God has provided us with many good doctors and psychiatrists, and it's in our best interest to take advantage of that. Kind of contradicted a little bit of what you said.
No contradiction at all. The onus of that statement was on you. You know. When you go to a doctor and he prescribes something to you, and you start using or abusing that, then you know that you're not being faithful to that doctor, also not being faithful to you. That's what I meant by that statement. We have we have my doctor, when I go see him, I have my family physician, he says nobody's been sober 40 years. The first thing he asked me is, did you drink today? And I told him to lose weight. He thinks he's hot shit because he's on TV all the time. But yeah, there's no controversy there. Anything about doctors and things like that, no sponsor is a doctor. We are not doctors. We're not saints. We're none of that. You know, we carry a message. That's all we do. The message that was taught to us. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it don't. You know, it's like they say, you throw seeds out. Some grow, some don't. You know. I'll never contradict a doctor. You know, I may speak to him, but I won't contradict him. It's not my job. And you know who I'm married to. I don't contradict nurses either. Wise man.
Nadine Alcoholic. Thanks, Jim. That was great. My question is more of towards the idea of the sponsorship thing. I really liked your approach on explaining how your sponsor sponsored you and what you learned. And I've reached out quite a few times in a variety of areas. I go to the Marble Group on Fridays, and it's a big meeting, and there's tons of newcomers, especially newcomer women. And I can't seem to get attention from the female women to come on a regular basis because there's so many new women there that need sponsorship. Would you have any suggestions?
Our general service structure is broken down in Erie right now. I mean, what needs to happen is general services has to get involved in attending these meetings, and people have to start bringing people with them to go. If you're, like I said earlier, if you want to enhance your sobriety, work with somebody new. My God, it's one of the most beneficial things that can happen to you. You know, I have a friend who's been sober a lot longer than me, and he said, if you want to stay sober, keep a new person by your side. You know, I sponsor a lot of guys that have 30 years or more, and they're a pain in the ass, but they don't bother me every single day. But the guy that's new, just coming off the street, that's the guy that enhances my sobriety, because I got to go back into these notes and look and bring this stuff back up. I'm engaged in my sobriety. Shut up. I'm engaged in my sobriety. And that's what's important. You know, that's what's important. We're helping each other. And so the first step, before you drink, I can't stress this enough. If you give it one more day, just tell yourself, I'll give it one more day. And in that time, reach out to somebody. And if you do that, 20 years later, you will drop to your knees and thank God that you didn't pick up that drink that day. It happened to me. It happened to me. I sponsored a guy. I'll tell this. I got to finish with this story. I sponsored a guy for a year. He called me up and he said, "I'm going to drink today. I just got my 1 year." Honest to God, this is a true story. I picked him up and I took him to the club. We drove around. We talked all day. I tried to talk him out of drinking. And I said, "What are you going to do?" He says, "I'm going to go to the state store and I'm going to get a bottle." So I said, "Wait, I'll take you out to my sponsor's house." So I drove him out to my sponsor's house. And he talked to him for a couple hours. And I drove him back to his apartment. And I said, "What are you going to do?" And he said, "I'm going out and drink." So I handed him a dollar bill, because that's what I was told to do. I said, "Let me buy you the first one." I get a phone call next day at noon from a friend of mine, and they had found him dead. And I had sponsored him for a year. He had had dinners at my mom's house. He had got integrated with our family, and it was a crushing thing. I am powerless over your alcoholism and mine. And there is one who has all power, and it's not me. It's not me. So if you don't think this is a gift, you're sadly mistaken. Your ego, if the only, let me put it to you this way. If you think that you don't need a higher power, then why the hell are you an alcoholic? Since you're a higher power. If you think to yourself, I can do this, I don't need a God, God will still be there when you need Him. So, anything other than God is ego. And that's what gets us in trouble. When we think we can do this. The omnipotence. So, that's all I got. Next week on step two, we're going to talk about mental illness. Seriously. And you guys better...